ordering this car.
You know me better than a joke.
All right, we are on item number 12. And this is discussion only. No possible action would be or could be taken. Quarterly report from the county manager on various administrative matters in Story County. County Manager Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. This is part of the quarterly update of the county manager's office. After you heard the quarterly update of the comptroller's office, I'd like to start with a segment related to our health benefits insurance. As you're aware, we have been in the open enrollment period since the beginning of the year, and it's now coming to a close. With me here is Kevin Monahan. He is with LP Insurance. He is our broker, and he is the one that has worked with us for the last 3 or 4 months going out to market to see what type of insurance carriers are out there that would like to bid on us based on our experience ratings and other factors. And fortunately, because of he and his team, we were able to get some bidders. We have some, and so I'm going to pass it over to Kevin here in a minute, but let me go over a couple points. So LP went out to market, and the responses that we got were from Cigna, who is our current insurance carrier, Prominence responded to our request for a bid, and United. Cigna came initially at about a 10%. They were actually higher than that before Kevin and his team were able to work it down further. Prominence came in about 1.9%, and United came in at about 17.6%, which is a substantial amount for the county and really wasn't quite competitive when compared to the others. We asked Kevin's team if they could go back to Cigna and knock the 10 down into some kind of single-digit number. And he was able to work something out at 7.7%. And that was a major change, not only in the amount that the county would owe annually for the insurance overall, but it provided kind of a no out-of-network option. That was the big element that was associated with that decrease. But we did form an insurance committee of various employees and folks in our group. We tried to get a person that had a large family and one with a small family, and one that uses the system a lot and one that doesn't, try to mix it up. Jeannie and her team did that with the HR office, and we shared this with everyone and said, are you guys willing to, have this, and not this, and not this? And that seemed to be an area that was amenable to the group. And then those folks had reached out to the folks they work with in their offices, and we didn't get any negative feedback regarding that. So at this point, I wouldn't mind if, Kevin, if you want to talk about a few things you and your team did, go for it.
Yeah, so Kevin Monahan with LP Insurance for the record. It was a little bit of a hard-fought year. There remains some ongoing and significant claim issues within the county, and this has been a battle the last few years that we've been fighting. So overall this year, I think we were pleased with the outcome in the sense that Cigna did offer eventually a manageable renewal and that there was interest from the market, which was good too. In light of the claims, that part alone was a little bit questionable, but we were able to pull in, like Austin said, a number of bidders. From there, I think the one word I would use to sort of characterize the process with the management team, with the various employee groups, and with all the parties involved is probably use the word balance. And that was sort of as we went through the discussion, evaluated the options from the market, the coverage options, all the considerations. I feel like everybody working together reached that balance in preserving the best level of coverage possible, the best level of access possible as well. And I think the sense I got after meeting with everybody is that things ended in a pretty good place. So we are going to be taking some, some additional initiative throughout the coming years, particularly the county has long had a policy for retirees to provide them additional options. So they'll have additional options available to them through the policy in terms of the coverage. So we're going to be undertaking some efforts to make them aware of those options, educate them as well throughout the year and see if there's any interest there. So beyond that, I'm happy to answer questions. If anybody cares to get into the more technical aspect of how it worked this year, I'm happy to do that as well.
I'll just add a couple things that we were able to still keep. Our base plan is still a high deductible plan that gets the rates down. It also provides a little bit of kind of accountability to all of us that are on the plan to be able to watch our plans, watch our spending, what we do, because an HSA, HD plan kind of it makes you actually work for what you're getting. It isn't just a handover. There is an option that still exists for a buy-up on that, so you can buy up to a higher level or a lower deductible. HSA, HD, also there is a PPO buy-up that the employee would then cover on their own for that additional amount if they wanted to be on that kind of a plan, no extra cost to the county. So two things we had to try to look at here is we're always looking at the county and fund balance as well to try to keep those costs responsible, but we also recognize that we have employees that have either full or shared dependent care coverage, and that when the rates go up, it also goes up for those individuals, and that can be quite a bite. So we try to create a balance there to be able to get the best plan. In fact, it'll be the same plan that we had before with Cigna, just with the adjustments. We knew there was going to be an increase. We tried to make it a single-digit increase. Kevin and his team were able to make that happen, actually a little bit lower than we were targeting, which is great. And that's where we are at this point. And this will go for another year. I will let you know that I cannot talk about collective bargaining, but the rate at which insurance is provided for dependents and spouses, that would be set by those respective collective bargaining agreements. And open enrollment is happening right now up until the 30th of April of this year, and then we'll be on the new plan.
Well done. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin or Kevin?
I do not. We open and drill down into all that detail, and we might be here till midnight. Thank you very much.
Vice Chairman, do you have anything for these gents?
No, just happy that we were able to keep the increases reasonable without sacrificing quality of coverage.
Yeah. Kevin, I know you worked very hard to get that Cigna rate down. I'm sure all of us thank you for that. Appreciate your team, too, and their efforts.
Thanks.
So,
appreciate that.
Is there any public comment for either Austin or Kevin regarding insurance? Nobody, huh? Not a soul. All right. Well, thanks. Thank you very much for the update. Appreciate you coming up.
Appreciate it. Oh, yes, absolutely. And then if you want, I'll go ahead and begin the rest of the quarterly report. There's a little bit of wind in this, so I'll try to keep it as short as possible, but there are a lot of things. While we're talking about insurance, I will let you know that our HR office with Jeannie and her team, as well as Kevin and his, they are working on some incentive packages, or I guess they're not incentive, but packages for retirees to look at options that might be out there for them under Medicare Advantage and other programs that would be more beneficial to them and even have some benefit to the county as well. So they're working with those folks on those. While we're talking about human resources stuff, I'll let you know that HR is working with a fire district as well as the county side on updating comprehensive policies that deal with personnel and other matters. We are actively engaged in collective bargaining with the AFSCME group, the general employees right now. Can't talk about that per NRS, but it is an ongoing process. You saw the presentation from Pull and from PACT regarding insurance casualty and workers' comp, so I think that was quite thorough, and I wouldn't necessarily need to elaborate on that. The economic development director or the business development director posting has been out for 2 weeks. We are currently still building up the applicant pool, so we'll continue doing that, but we do have a couple applications in at this point we're looking at with HR. We are going to use Indeed and some nationwide platforms as well as that to recruit. The lifeguard position right now is very important, and we're having a hard time getting enough lifeguards to keep the pool open. The school district and Todd and the folks down at the high school, Eric Schoen, Jesse and the folks from Public Works are really working hard to try to get the word out in our community that we need lifeguards to keep the pool open. That would be very important to our community. I don't think people would be very happy if we closed the pool with his season. Going into administration, I'll let you know some of the stuff is other department heads are working on. A lot of times they feed me what they're working on. We work throughout the year on their projects. So it's kind of really what's going on in the county overall. And so I certainly give a lot of credit here to our department heads and others that are working on these things. Marlette Water, we are still in active negotiations with the state, with Carson City, and with Tumwa on the water that is available in that system, as well as surplus water. Tumwa would only be subject to surface water or surplus water, and that would be kind of water in a wet year that would spill over the west side of Marlette Lake. It would not be water that is on our side of the system. That negotiation is still going on. Our county master plan on water is near complete. Far West is making a couple of touches on it. We're also working with Steve Walker, as you're aware, we're under contract with him to go over that agreement. At this point, we're looking at our opportunities that might exist in that system that might be beneficial to not only Virginia City, but also to the Highlands and potentially Mark Twain for the foreseeable future and water that might be available to those areas. Predictability and reliability of the system is a huge goal of that. The raw water rates of what the state charges us is an important element of that, as well as the water fund that has very little funds in it. It's an enterprise fund that is paid by the rate payers, and we have to watch the bottom line on that. There's not a lot of extra money to put into that system. The affluent pipeline north of the county going to Tri-Center is, as you're aware, still under construction and nearing completion. We do expect our first TIA reimbursement to occur this year. The clerk's office, as well as the comptroller's office, are working with Marty Johnson and Kendra to figure out exactly what that number will be, and then we'll begin that reimbursement process. As far as legislation goes, there's nothing really new at this point on innovation zones or AB 90, which at this point is not effective, but it is important to watch those Washoe County and regional impact types of legislation coming our way. AB 240 from 2019 is still effective. The county managers had collaborated and talked and submitted its report to the legislature per the requirement of AB 240. We're compliant, and that document will become a base by which the next legislative session may support or review legislation coming after Story County and its programs. We are working with Marty Johnson and our folks on creating what we call the white paper that will be published to look at the economic impacts positively and otherwise in the region, as well as responsibilities that we have fiscally with after 2024 when other funds that we're expecting come our way. Do you have any questions so far before I continue?
No.
Okay. Waste management. The franchise agreement is subject to renewal in 2024. Well, that seems like a little bit away. You had budgeted in the tentative budget $100,000 for us to go to consultation to have some folks that do nothing but garbage contracts work with us. And we're going to look at over the next full year and a half preparing to go out to RFQ or RFP in that case and see if we can get the best bid possible for the next garbage contract with waste management or whoever else might win a bid. That is going on now. The strategic plan is ongoing. We're still working with Linda Ritter Consulting Services on that. She's still working department by department, including my office, on the next draft that will be come to you shortly for consideration. As you're aware, we're working with the Porter Group and with our federal delegates on the zip code project. And this is to, at the north end of the county, we want to expand the 8943 zip code, 89437 zip code that applies out of Tri-Center to the other communities in the River District, Painted Rock, Lockwood, and Mustang. We're still working on that. There is some traction, but it's the federal government. It's slow and go. The Porter Group has been really helpful in this endeavor, as well as the offices of Cortez Masto, Rosen, and Amadei, especially Amadei's office and Cortez Masto's office. We talk at least on every 3 weeks about the next step, and they want documents, and they're trying to work with Congress on trying to get a zip code amendment made. The other zip codes that we're still looking at is the Highlands, to merge it into 89440 for Virginia City. I want to emphasize that if that were to happen, they would not be giving up their mailboxes or their delivery out in their community. They would not have to come to the post office in Virginia City for service, but it would have a zip code that's exclusive to Story County that would provide them benefits that we've talked about at these meetings to them. Mark Twain, I will say, so they're not forgotten. Right now, they're in 89403. It's such a small community, and the benefits of being in 89403 versus 89440, it's almost more beneficial for them to be in that 89403 Dayton zip code than it would be on our side. They're not experiencing anything adverse, but we are still looking at them to see what options might be available. We'll let you know for RS-2477 roads. We're going to talk about that maybe a little bit with a contract that's coming up. But Kathy's office over at planning is kind of dividing that study that was done by Jerry Elkins to have two halves. One half would be all of the RS-2477 identified roads that would be public, quote unquote, on public lands, BLM, and then another that would be on private properties. Those that are on private properties, we're opting, at least at this point, to have a library where people could come in, residents, citizens, or anybody, could talk to them on a case-by-case basis to discuss the issues that are affecting them on their roads. For the public properties, we are suggesting that we bring to full public workshop to look at them collaboratively and then submit those documents to the BLM and identify the roads we believe to be RS-2477. And have the BLM accept those. Do you have any questions on that?
No questions.
Okay. NDOT has been really great to work with on State Route 342, the connector between Devil's Gate and Fort Worth School. As you know, for the last 100 years, we don't know exactly where NDOT ends and the county begins and where the property lines are and where that road actually is and who owns it. NDOT's been really great with District 2. We were able to get a draft letter from them after several meetings with all of our team to get a definition of where the right-of-way is that is owned by Story County or owned by other private property owners or owned by Comstock Mining in one major segment. And then inside that is a prescriptive right of a road that actually is the pavement. And then on the sides of that are the shoulders of disturbed gravel and other appurtenances. They have provided a letter that identify all those different components. That will help us identify who is responsible for permitting, encroachments, driveways, and other activities on these different elements of that very long parcels. That's a very helpful letter, and we're really looking forward to that ultimately coming to this board for consideration. I would anticipate that to happen in the next 30 to 60 days. And we believe that this will, for the first time, lessen issues that we've had with permitting and other types of matters dealing with that roadway. NDOT and USA Parkway, we're working with NDOT as well on their portion of USA Parkway and potentially the county's responsibilities in that right-of-way for certain developments, intersections, and other maintenance agreements. So that is going on at this point. There will be a lot more details to go with you as developments come out of Tri-Center. Coming to office reorganization, I do have an intermittent part-time person who is retiring. It's very unfortunate. We're going to miss her. But we are going to restructure a little bit between the clerk's office, Dory, and mine to move minutes up to her office and move agendas back down to my office. And then that will be able to free us up a little bit more of administrative assistant time as well, even with a less than part-timer to put in potentially for the economic development officer as well as sharing with myself. And then lastly, I had a nice lunch and a tour with Washoe County Manager Eric Brown. And we talked about regional fiscal matters and regional importance issues and also gave him a tour of the Comstock and some of our infrastructure and our water systems and sewer and some of our other buildings and structures. And then he's also looking forward to a tour at the north end of the county where he'll get to see Tri-Center and some of the elements that are out that way. And lastly, I do have, we're still working with the Cemetery Foundation on getting an interlocal agreement with them for the management of the cemetery and modern burials. And then I just want to thank the Story County Senior Center for the reorganization that Stacy's doing with her team on not only the Senior Center, but also the food pantry and a lot of the community services that are going on in Lockwood, Virginia City, the Highlands, and in Mark Twain. And then I have one thing I'm going to read to you. I'm going to be very quickly with it, but it's a lot of words. I've had some questions since the last meeting regarding the amount of improvements we're making in the Lockwood community with infrastructure projects. I'd like to now just touch on the Mark Twain community infrastructure projects that we're working on very quickly. So in 2020, we have the Culvert and Shoulder Improvement Project. 2021, the Culvert and Shoulder Improvement Project. 2022, Jumping Frog Circle Road Rehabilitation. 2024, Mark Twain Dog Park. 2025, Mark Twain Community Center Enhancements and Expansion into the Fire Bay areas of Station 73, as it's known. 2025, Mark Twain Community Center Electrical Upgrades. 2025, Mark Twain Community Center Parking Lot Lights. 2025, Mark Twain Community Center Parking Lot and Landscaping. 2026, Mark Twain Mailbox Plaza, and that would be only if the people down there want that, so we would work with them on that project. 2027, Mark Twain Fire Station, a new facility entirely. 2027, Mark Twain Bicycle and Skate Park, that is at the request of a resident. We would work with the community to see if they want that. It would be located near the community center. 2028, Mark Twain Regional Water Drainage System, a $10 million. This will be an interlocal project with Lyon County, Carson Water Subconservancy, and FEMA. 2028, Sutro Springs Territory and Willyway Road Rehabilitation. And beyond that, municipal water to Mark Twain Estates, possibly from the system up here. That is a plan. And 2029 to 30, many more items that are on the list that are far enough out, we're not quite ready to plan for them. That's all I have.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything?
No, I like all the projects. Nice to be busy.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you for the update.
All right. Thank you. Is there any comments from the public?
Tom Zachary again. I want to keep my 89403 area code because I have a P.O. box and I can't drive up here every time to get my mail every day. The other thing is, do you have a status on the map that I just looked at the Planning Commission on those roads? I mean, is it fixed? Is it still a work in progress? I can see where Jerry's things on the public land is pretty much... So if there's a status, and if there will be in the next thing of the road commission, if anything pertaining to that map will come up in the commissioner's notes on the, if that meeting will be part of a commission meeting.
Okay. I'll answer two of those questions if you want, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
And then I'm going to pass it over to Kathy because she has been the one managing the RS-2477 project now. The first one is having those Mark Twain residents being able to use the Dayton Post Office as part of the consideration of leaving them in 89403. They're also actually enjoying a lower sales tax rate in the neighboring county, and there's some other benefits to the region. So they're not quite getting the impact that the Highlands are or that Lockwood is with the Washoe County Associated Zip Code. Okay. The second one, what was the second question?
The status of the map,
and then there's a third question. That's the one. What is it?
Roads.
Okay.
Well, that be part of the commission.
If the roads commission.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Part of county commission.
Keith Loomis is going to take lead on our next item dealing with the RS-2477 roads, but more importantly, the Board of Highway Commissioners. I don't anticipate there's going to be a lot of discussion about all the roads and the maps and things like that. I imagine there would be. I won't say too much during this because we're on a different agenda item, but I will let you know that there is going to be discussion in public workshop about that map when it comes public. It is at this point, as Kathy will describe, it is available for review and discussion with her team, and it is going to be divided into those two halves. So in essence, it will be a public process, and there will be definitely time where you can comment and take a look at it now and later. I'm going to pass it over to Kathy at this point, who's managing that.
Thank you, Kathy Canfield, for the record. So the RS-2477 process, we have the research completed by our contract person. He came up with a preliminary mapping that he did that's based on his research. Where we're at right now is working with Keith, trying to get all the legal formats correct to follow so that BLM will accept all of our research that we have that we'll be presenting to you for acknowledgement or approval or whatever is going to be the right terminology for that. So we do have mapping of the research, and anybody's welcome. We're happy to share any of that research that we have. What we're looking forward to doing is using, just looking at the roadways that are on public land, because that's really what we're trying to do with this, is identify all these roadways that are on public land so that once they're identified, then BLM, who is our federal and the Forest Service, but we don't have any Forest Service land here, so that they don't close any of these roads, that we've got claims to keeping all these roads open. There's a whole other part of this that's all that these roadways that go across private property. We do have some research based on what Jerry has done. There's other avenues of research also for some of these roads. So even though we'll be showing those on some of the maps, that won't be part of the RS-2477 process. So we'll take those individually as they come up or there's questions or something. And I don't know if Keith has anything else you want to add. So this is moving forward. It's just, as you'll see from another agenda item, there's a lot of steps that we have to do. We're following, there's been two other counties that we've been talking to that have done this process. But both of those counties have a lot of public land and very little private land. And we're kind of the opposite. We have a lot of private land and very little public land compared to some of these other counties. So we're trying to make sure that we can't just follow exactly what they've done, because we've got a little different situation and we're trying to work through to make sure that we do it once and we do it right and not have to come back and keep doing this all the time. So
I think if Mr. Zachary or someone else was to want to keep track of that, would they be keeping an eye on the Board of Commissioner agenda packets, or should they start looking at the Planning Commission packets first?
None of these items are required to go to the Planning Commission, okay. So it would be the board agendas.
Does that help?
It would be where?
On the board agendas.
Here, these meetings.
That helps, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. No other questions. I think we're good.
All right. Moving on to item number 13, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of resolution 22-641, appointing the county manager as the administrator of the process for seeking reimbursement for the costs of providing public infrastructure as provided in Exhibit E to the development agreement between Story County, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, and DP Operating Partnership, LLP, dated February 2, 2000. Keith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, Story County District Attorney's Office. So this is under the development agreement that governs the Tri-Center. The county is required to appoint an administrator to handle the process of developers seeking reimbursement for the creation of public infrastructure projects. That position had been filled by Pat Whitten. Pat Whitten has since left the county, and so we need to refill that position. And what this resolution provides is that instead of naming an individual to fill that position, we're going to name a county officer to fill that position. And in this case, the resolution calls for the appointment of the county manager to fill that position. So when Austin leaves to go to Washington, D.C. next year, we won't have to appoint somebody new. But I'm just kidding, Austin. We'll be able to move on without having to go through this process again. And so it's simply before you to decide whether you want to appoint the county manager as the new administrator over that reimbursement process.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Commissioner Gilman, any input on this?
That has generally been the case with Pat Whitten, I believe, before it started. And so I believe it's appropriate that we continue that process.
Okay. Vice Chairman?
Yeah, I agree. I think it cleans it up so that we don't have to do the same thing again. In a few years, it just will continue with whoever's in that role.
All right. Should we be concerned about you going to Washington?
Yes, sir. Sure.
Okay. All right.
That is a rumor that I just made up.
Great.
Now on the record.
Thanks for the clarification. Is there any public comment regarding resolution number 22-641? Anybody? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to appoint the county manager as the administrator.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Congratulations to your new job.
That's great, thank you.
Yep. All right. Thanks again, Keith. Number 14, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of activation of the Story County Board of Highway Commissioners. Keith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. So this is kind of an interesting question. The Board of Highway Commissioners was created by the legislature in every county in the state except for those having a population over 100,000. And that's been in existence for quite some time. In looking around the state, it turns out that for the most part, it's that the creation of that commission has been ignored. But in a couple of counties, that's Nye County and Churchill County, the Board of Highway Commissioners has been activated and has a role to play in the identification of RS-2477 roadways. I looked at Carson City and Douglas County and Lyon County, and none of them have a Board of Highway Commissioners. And so this is kind of in front of you today to decide whether you want to activate that board. It's not going to be actual creation. It's just the first step in creating the board and having it take the authority that it has. And the reason that it's really here is that if you look through the Chapter 244, which governs counties, the Board of County Commissioners has authority over roads and infrastructure to the extent it's not dedicated or explicitly given to somebody else. You also have the authority of a GID under the 318 provisions that does provide for a GID district for roads. And that does a lot of the same things that the county can do. But the Board of Highway Commissioners has a kind of a separate authority over the construction, repair, and maintenance of roads and the designation of those roads as either major county roads, general county roads, or minor county roads. So they have the authority to do that. And one of the provisions that kind of makes it important today is that the Board of Highway Commissioners has the authority over the identification, the setting the width of the right-of-way, and taking the actions to actually identify a road as a 2477 road. And that's why this is before you today. It says under Chapter 403 that to the extent that a Board of Highway Commissioners has exclusive control over construction, repair, and maintenance, they are the ones that are empowered to identify 2477 roads in their county. And that's why this is here before you today, to see whether you want to take the step to create the Board of Highway Commissioners. It is made up of the Board of County Commissioners and solely the Board of County Commissioners. It requires the election of a chairman and a secretary. There is some bureaucratic provisions involved in creating the Board of Highway Commissioners in that the secretary of the board, once elected, is required to put an advertisement in the newspaper identifying the expenses and revenues of the Board of Highway Commissioners. Every 6 months, they have to publish an identification of all the equipment, supplies of the Board of Highway Commissioners, and it's so it's going to involve some bureaucracy, but it will allow us to proceed with the RS-2477 identifications.
Anything else, Keith?
So that's all I have.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman?
So general comments is, I believe that in as much as this commission oversees the majority of the boards that operate within our county, and so there's a continuity there, and my consideration from the standpoint of the highways is our county is going to be addressing over the next years a lot of implementation, a lot of perhaps requests for additional highway and road and maintenance and those kind of things. I see a lot of that in our future, and I'm thinking over the next 5, 10, 15 years. But I believe having a highway commission board would be important at this point in our future and where we're all going. So I would be in favor of creating this commission.
Okay. Thank you, Lance. Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
So I see a couple of questions. The first one is, does the clerk of the board need to be one of the members of the board, or can that be delegated, as is the case with some of our others, to a staff person or another elected official to handle those tasks?
The statute says that the secretary has to be a member of the board. Whether the secretary could receive assistance from other county staff, I don't see why that couldn't happen. I think it could happen.
Okay.
And so I don't think the secretary could certainly ask staff, keep track of this stuff and and put the advertisement in the paper after every meeting, because it's the Board of Highway Commissioners has a meeting once a month. It's supposed to happen on or about the first day of the each month. What I've said in the memo that's before you is that I think that it could qualify to put it on the first Tuesday of each month, so along, and we will include a provision in the agenda that says that the Board of County Commissioners also acts as the Board of Highway Commissioners.
Okay. I see that the NRS allows for some, you know, hiring a road supervisor, and then of course the reporting on equipment and those kind of things. Is there an anticipation that by creating this, this may restructure public works in some way, or would it be mostly an administrative body with the county Board of Commissioners still overseeing the actual work getting done?
Well, there is the possibility of appointing a road supervisor. That's provided for in Chapter 403. It's not a requirement. There's a possibility of creating independent road districts throughout the county, but again, that is not a requirement. It does say that if we don't have bonds to provide for the funding of the Board of County Highway Commissioners, that it will come out of the County General Fund. So it provides for change, but it doesn't demand it.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
Okay. I don't have any questions for you on this one, Keith, but I will go to the public to see if they have any input on the new proposed Board of Highway Commissioners. Up to the podium, gentlemen.
You may have my same questions, so I'll wait till he's done.
Okay, most of you know the stuff I went through a few years ago.
State your name for the record.
Oh, Tom Zachary. The battle that we had over Citrus Springs Road. I really think if this board had been in place in the early 90s when those subdivisions were made, that issue would not have come up. I think it would have been resolved by this board. And I do hope that this will not just deal with the roads on public land, but it will also deal with other roads in the county. I mean, the county will decide what are main roads, lesser roads, and teeny little roads.
Minor.
Yeah, minor roads. But that's my thing, and I support this. I think this gives us a place to deal with it within our county. Right here, and with meetings, when these issues come up, that the public has input.
Thank you, Tom.
What I would say is that Tom was one of the defendants in the suit that was brought over Sutro Springs Road along with the county. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the court decided, and that road crossed private lands. We're not proposing to address that issue just yet. We're going to start with the public lands, as Ms. Canfield indicated. And we also have the issue with Long Valley Road, which is another one that has been declared by the court to be an RS-2477 road, but that is, again, on private land. So I don't think we're going to get to this right away, Tom. It's going to be a while.
But it will give us a place when those issues come up.
Yes.
If there is another lawsuit, then this board could make some sort of decision, maybe before it comes to court, or clarify that.
If you don't mind, Tom, when we're having the discussion, I need you up just on record, just so that it's not.
Tom Zachary again. What I'm thinking is this is going to be an ongoing process. This is going to be a board that, when these road issues come up, the county can make a decision. It may still go to court, but the county can make a decision, and it's something that could be used in planning. I'm one of those residents that I think I want as many public roads as I can have, as long as they don't cross my property. I think most of us feel that way. So, anyway, those are the questions I have. That it would give us a place right here to make a lot of decisions that might keep us out of court.
Agreed. Okay. I'd maybe hang tight here until we're done, just in case something comes up. Gary, do you want to go before Austin does?
Name is Gary Mack, for the record. As some of you may know, I am the front man for a group of 30-ish residents in the 40s that have property, and they may or may not live there, but they own property in that area. So we saw this agenda item with some trepidation, but I think in general the consensus is that it would be a good thing to have a board to talk to. Right now I think it's kind of a, you know, who do you talk to problem about these kinds of issues. We do have a question, though, as to how public would be able to provide input into that process. That is a really big issue for, I think, a lot more folks than just the 30 or so that I represent. We're glad to hear that there's a distinction between public lands and private lands in terms of the 2477 issue, but that whole process shouldn't be hashed out here, obviously, but we would like to know how a board of highway commissioners would take input from the public on proposed maps, rulings, etc.
Go ahead.
And I'll sit here just in case.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be concurrent with a Board of County Commission meetings. It will be the first Tuesday of the month, and the Board of Highway Commission would meet at that time. They can have special meetings, but that's typically when they would have their meeting. And the first thing that would happen would, if the board is inclined to pursue the creation of the, or activation of the Board of Highway Commissioners, we'll have another meeting in which we'll do the elections and figure out some of the bureaucratic issues, and then I think we'll get into the meat and bones after that, but it'll be on a Board of County Commission meetings.
Follow-up question on that. And so if I hear you correctly, then it would just be, there would be no formal method other than just attending a board meeting and asking questions. There's nothing outside of that process that would allow people to say, you know, and I know Austin's working on that plan, and maybe that's the vehicle for these kinds of things to come into it. But we really would like to understand how we would have input into that decision-making process before it's here for a final decision.
Okay, and that's a good point. There is a provision under 403 that when the Board of Highway Commissioners designates a road as a major general or minor county road, or it goes ahead and decides to identify the width of a right-of-way for an RS-2477, and it is, there's required to be a public hearing in advance that has a newspaper announcement.
Again, is that process set up for public input, though? I mean, yes. A public hearing is one thing. We're having one right now. But we obviously can't hash through detailed issues in this kind of a forum. So that's, I think that's the question that people are talking about. And again, I think maybe Austin has a ready answer for that. I hope. Maybe not.
No, and obviously, one of the things the board could do is have a workshop, if exactly. you choose to do that, yes. which would allow for a more in-depth examination of that kind of issues.
I'm hearing nay. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not required yeah. to, but they can.
Okay.
You know, if you reach out to one of the Board of Highway Commissioners, I'm sure they'll
well,
do
I think
their
the,
part to, you know, make sure it gets heard.
Well, I think the concern is that residents don't want to just unilaterally find out after the fact that Barrel Springs Road has been designated a highway. Property owners along that road, as an example, I'll pick on that one because I don't live on it, but the other obvious elephant in the room is Long Valley Road. You know, if that becomes a major thoroughfare where we have official designated UTV routes and traffic, there's fire hazards, there's safety issues, there's all kinds of things about that. Again, that's not appropriate for this meeting, but those are the kinds of issues that I'm getting asked. How would we have input to that process?
And
we're hoping to hear something other than it's a possibility.
Right before you, Austin, Lance just wanted to say.
Just a thought. I've been here for 10 years now, and typically in situations like this, in the past, we enjoy having public outreach meetings. And we've done that with the Highlands and with Lockwood and with Mark Twain, et cetera. And so for something that's impacted within any of our communities, we've had public workshops on a regular basis. And I see that being no different in this case.
Well, and that's appreciated. I know that you guys reconvene as other boards on a frequent basis.
Yes, sir.
And so the model that we're looking at is basically that because we don't have another model to look at. And those other boards, we don't really see a mechanism for public input to those. They're generally around fire and other kinds of issues where the public's not involved directly. So that's why the questions are coming up. So anyway, I appreciate it.
So let's see what Austin has to say.
Okay. Thank you. Austin Osborne, County Manager, for the record. So Kathy Canfield has worked on a RS-2477 road inventory study with Jerry Elkins. Jerry Elkins is the person that has done this work in Nye County and in Churchill County, and they went through a public process to look at this. The difference between them and us is they are by far mostly federally owned, and we are by far mostly privately owned, but we nevertheless have federal lands. So what we can easily do on this is this inventory has been completed. The maps are there. There's delineation of what roads are RS-2477. In a lot of cases, there's backup documentation, whether it's newspaper clippings or maps or whatever it might be that exists. In order to do the public roads, we would not have no problem immediately going into a public workshop type of setting. We could utilize the Planning Commission, for example. And the Planning Commission, as before, been involved in public meetings to try to get people during the off time at night when they come home from work and that sort of thing. We can hold a town hall. We do a lot of those now, nowadays, and get public input on those. And we can put maps around the room and people can take a look at them and make comments, write on them. And then Kathy can work with Jerry and ultimately with this commission or the highway commissioners, you know, to come up with a public lands, roads, RS-2477 map and inventory, and then submit that to the federal government. That one, we believe, at least working with Kathy, is fairly benign. It's fairly simple. It's identifiable. It's a batch. The private land segment, Kathy would like to divide that into like another set of workshops or another set of some other way to provide people access to the maps to take a look at them. One, she's already done. She's done private visitations. You can make an appointment with Kathy and Lindy, take a look at the map. You're probably not going to be that interested in what's going on over there in Painted Rock at the other end of the county, but you might be interested in what's going on in your neighborhood. And you can zoom in and pay attention to that area and say, wow, what's this one identified as RS-24774? And then Kathy can reach over and pull those documents out and show you. And then if you disagree or want to add to them or you do agree or whatever, then you can have that interaction. That might be a little bit more of an appropriate setting for the private area, because there's so many roads and it's so congested and there's so many individuals that might have interests that maybe a private segment might be appropriate on that area, meaning private meeting. And then once kind of things are settled out, then maybe come out with some type of a public workshop overall, maybe segments of the county so you don't have, you know, people from Lockwood showing up and, you know, all over there, can't get too many people in a room with too many roads. I think my point is, I think Kathy and her team are ready. We all would be participatory in that and getting that settled out. And then ultimately to this Board of Highway Commissioners, maybe for a 2.0, meaning the private properties road segment of this project, and then get that into some kind of a library. It can be set aside. And then when there's an issue, case by case, that library can be pulled out, and then you can look at the facts surrounding a particular road. The Board of Highway Commissioners, I guess, could take action. Keith could take a look at that from a legal perspective, and everybody is involved in that. There was a lot of words, but does that answer your question on how that might happen?
Yes, it does. I appreciate it very much. I think our ultimate goal is to try to not be chasing rumors and smoke.
Agreed.
Because this is a nightmare for everybody. So having one place to get that consolidated view of what is going on with roads, and then we, frankly, I think the consensus in our group, at least, is that the County Road Commission is not a bad idea, because again, it's, you know, one throat to choke, so to speak. So I appreciate.
Well, there are three of us. So
yeah, 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 it goes three, both ways. Yeah.
Three throats.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well, collectively. But anyway, I appreciate you very much. I appreciate the answers. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
That's all.
Go for it.
There's Tom Zachary again. There's another Nevada law, and it deals with the county road commission setting up the three sizes of roads. And if a citizen has another road that they use that is not on those maps, they can take a topo map and trace those roads that they use. And I feel it's mostly for notification that this road is being used by someone. It doesn't make it a public road, but it makes people aware that that road is not just out there, that someone is still using the road. Gotcha. And Keith says that's why I got in the lawsuit, because I have a couple of those. But all I did was follow the law. And if the board had been there, it wouldn't have been an issue. But anyway, that will take a lot of discussion. And I was wondering if those maps will be, they're all on record, and if they will be taken into consideration when these issues of the roads going over private property come up. It's just, we can settle that once we get to the board meetings and the workshops, I believe.
Yep.
I trust you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I have to live here.
Kathy Campbell, for the record again. I think just to kind of bring this back down and what this process is doing, the RS-2477 process is just for federal lands right now only. That's all we're going to deal with, is land that's owned by BLM. There's other segments and pieces that might meet the RS-2477. They might meet prescriptive easements. There's a lot of other history that can be done with the roads. We are not doing a full inventory of every single road in the county with this process. This is only the land that's owned by the federal government, so that we can meet their deadline to show the map, so that if they ever want to close that road and we claim this is a public road, they can't close it. That's all we're trying to do, is the federal land, preserve our rights to keep that land public. So these other things come up, as all of you are aware, gates and road closures, private properties, and claims on all these other roadways. And we will be dealing, it's good because we have a lot of research for that, but that's not what the process that we're going to bring forward to you is. It's going to be, start off with just, here's all the federal land in the county. Here's all the road segments that we claim are public land or public access ways. And we want to put it on a map, and then we give it to BLM and say, this is what we're claiming, so you can't close these. You can't give this away. You can't close it. It's public. And that's the process we're doing right now. The other stuff we'll probably eventually get to them one by one or as area by area as they come up, but that's not what we're going to be bringing forward to you in the coming months.
Okay.
Just so everybody's not, have expectations are managed, I guess.
Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne, and I just want to add to that, and it's a little bit of what I've already said. Kathy's right, and what the program is she's putting together with regard to those federal lands, and I think I summarized that a little bit earlier, and Kathy did a better job at it. There is another component. A lot of research has been done on a lot of roads on private properties, not all the roads. In fact, there are areas of the county we didn't do a study on every single road because they're very remote. They're not really involved in any kind of issue, or they're in places like in the middle of Tri-Center that are built upon. But we do have the ability to go ahead and do as we just suggested, is to have public workshops or discuss or have private visitations to look at that inventory that's done aside from the project that Kathy's describing and still look at that material that would be on a case-by-case basis and take a look at those and then treat them on a case-by-case basis. So there's kind of like an added element on that. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman.
I just had a couple of comments, and the first one is this. Maybe if and when staff starts actively working on this second component with private roads, we can make an extra effort to publicize that in our public meetings that we're starting that process so that the public who is interested has an opportunity to interface and make sure that they feel like they didn't miss anything as we go. While they certainly have the ability to give us input in the meetings where we're making decisions, as long as there's adequate notice that we're starting that process, then when we do hold a town hall or a workshop, people will be looking for it and will know that this is the time to give your input, so on and so forth. I wanted to second the idea that the Planning Commission, while it may not be required that some of these decisions go through the Planning Commission, I think we have used in the past to great success the Planning Commission as a virtual town hall, as a venue for discussion in more depth, and I think that's certainly something that we can consider in the future. My apologies. I feel strongly that, you know, anything that we can do to provide clarity to both the public and private property owners is vital, because the county, first and foremost, is a customer service organization. And ambiguity does not help when it comes to understanding what rights are held by whom, what usages are permitted, so on and so forth. And so I see that as a primary responsibility. However we get there, I think that a highway board provides a dedicated venue, I think, to do that. I want to point out one other thing as far as public input into the actual decisions, and that is, while people are certainly welcome, and we welcome with open arms public comment during the meeting, it is not the only way that you can give us feedback about issues that are on the agenda. First of all of our emails and cell phones, I believe, are available, and you can call us at any time. Number two, if you call just the commissioner's office and leave a message, that message will be forwarded to us. And number three, written comment is really helpful, because if it's submitted ahead of time, then that can be forwarded out and everyone can consider it. If there is, on the rare occasion that something's overlooked, usually staff does a really good job of vetting things out ahead of time and considering all the issues. But on the rare occasion that there may be something that was missed, it is much easier for us to address that and take a look at, do we need to reformat what we're looking at or take a different approach if it's brought up before the meeting actually happens. And then we can have a process that's very constructive and robust and make sure that everyone has a participation in it. So I just thought I'd share those thoughts about public participation. My only other question is, can we get some sort of a badge or maybe a medal? Because for formal events, I think we want to look like a third world dictatorship where we got, like, for each of the commissions that we sit on. I think maybe that would, because when I ran, this was not part of the job description. Happy to take on one more commission, but maybe we can look into some sort of an identifier for us as highway commissioners.
I'd be a little more concerned in a bodyguard after Gary's comment.
Shovels.
Whatever. You get a badge, I get a bodyguard, we're fine. All right, all jokes aside, is there any more public comment about this Board of Highway Commissioners? Nope. Vice Chairman, if you're comfortable to...
I am. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve the activation of the Story County Board of Highway Commissioners and direct the steps to implement that activation be placed upon the next available county commissioner meeting.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Austin, Keith, Kathy, Gary, Tom. Appreciate all the comments. Item number 15, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution 22-642 to proclaim May through October 2022 as Nevada Wildfire Awareness Campaign in Story County.
Honey Tapley, Community Relations for the record. Before I introduce our guests, I just want to give a brief summary. As we know, wildfire can threaten Nevada communities and impact homes, property, and human life. And the key to minimizing the wildfire impact in Nevada is proactive communities that take steps to prepare. In response, representatives of Nevada's local, state, and federal firefighting agencies, wildfire-prone communities, and University of Nevada Reno Extension have conducted a wildfire awareness campaign every May since 2006. This year, the message is battle-borne, wildfire ready. And today, to help talk about this, we have Lisa Taylor and Jamie Royce Gomes, and they're from Living with Fire. And then we have Chief Longcard to also share.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Jamie Royce Gomes. I'm the manager of the Living with Fire program. And we work with local, state, and federal firefighting agencies. We help Nevadans to prepare for wildfire, and we are a part of University of Nevada Reno Extension. I just wanted to share just two tips for folks to reduce the wildfire threat. It's really, really critical to clear the first 5 feet from your home of dead vegetation. You want to keep it clear of combustibles. You want to get rid of your dried pine needles, dried leaves. You want to have non-combustible things like DG or decomposed granite, rock, paver. If you do want to have some sort of vegetation right next to your home, we recommend having high moisture content, low growing plants that you can plant. Not every plant is fire resistant, but some plants are able to burn less intensely and it takes longer for them to burn. Let's see, we also recommend having an evacuation plan for you and your family and having an evacuation go bag for you and your household. So this campaign lasts 6 months, and so we really want to urge residents May through October, and actually all year, because wildfire knows no season, we want to encourage folks to prepare for wildfire. And you can do this by visiting your local fire agency, or you can visit livingwithfire.com. Thank you for the consideration for this resolution.
My name is Lisa Taylor. I'm your UNR Extension Educator here in Story County. And one of the things we found from the needs assessment that you all provided some excellent feedback on is that wildfire and certainly fire protection are critical issues that we, as your staff members, want to and continue to address in partnership with our specialists. And so as you think about needing information, materials, as well as educational activities and programs, we can do those not only in the Highlands. We can do that in Mark Twain, and we definitely can do that in Virginia City and Lockwood. So that those are things that we as generalists can also address, but in partnership with those, of course, in the community that are doing so many wonderful things to address fire in our community.
Thank you.
Commissioners, Jeremy Longcar, Fire Chief. I'll make this real quick here so Honey can get to the proclamation. However, I just want to thank UNR and Living with Fire. They are a very critical partner here in the state of Nevada in the distribution of information to help protect our community. So we appreciate their help, and we'll absolutely be here to support them in their efforts. And we'll let Honey go ahead and read the proclamation.
Honey Tapley, for the record. Story County Resolution in support of Nevada Wildfire Awareness Campaign from May to October 2022. Whereas wildfire significantly impacts Nevada's environmental, economic, and social well-being, and whereas residents must prepare to survive wildfire by ensuring proper management of vegetation surrounding the home and appropriate home construction and maintenance to resist ignition, and whereas residents need to work together to prepare their homes and communities to survive wildfire and commit to become fire adapted, and whereas residents can save precious time in an evacuation by preparing a go bag and family evacuation plan ahead of time, therefore, the Story County Board of County Commissioners proclaims the May through October 2022 as the Nevada Wildfire Awareness Campaign to educate and call for residents of Story County to work together and be ready for wildfire. This year's banner theme is Battle-Borne Wildfire Ready, adopted this 19th day of April 2022.
Thank you.
Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
No, I'm supportive. This is important.
Yep. Is there any comments by the public? You know the deal now, Tom.
Tom Zachary. Although I killed 7 rattlesnakes between my back door and the chicken house last June, wildfire is my biggest fear. I've been there. I live at the end of a 2-mile dirt road, one way in, one way out. And I've seen trucks come through the smoke. This is good. This is good. If you've been there alone, waiting for help. So I want to put a face to the place. I'm up there by myself and I'm old.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Is there any more public comment? If not,
Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion, make it official?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve Resolution 22-642 for the proclamation of May through October of 2022 as the Nevada Wildfire Awareness Campaign in Story County.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion aye. Passes unanimously. Group photo?
We got one prior, but if you would like to be in the group photo, then...
You guys are out? Tom Zachary, get Tom up there too. Is that it?
Okay,
continue. Tall. Okay. Come on, Tom. You've been here a long time, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming up and... All right. Moving right along to item number 16, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the letter to the Governor's Office of Economic Development supporting shared joint partnerships with regional economic development authorities, including the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, also known as EDON, and Northern Nevada Development Authority, also known as NNDA, in Story County, providing for business attraction, support, and retention. Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record, County Manager. What you have in front of you is a draft letter. I had sent a similar letter with my signature on it over to the Governor's Office of Economic Development last week, and I asked the board to consider doing the same with the signatures of this board on it. There are two economic development authorities in this region. One is EDON, the other is NNDA. They both serve in Story County. EDON has most of its jurisdiction in Reno, Sparks, and Washoe County, as well as along the I-80 corridor. And then NNDA has most of its jurisdiction in Carson City, Douglas, and Lyon counties in the Sierra Front, as they call it. And they also have jurisdiction in Story County. Both of them have a blended overlapping jurisdiction in Fernley, and there is a soon-to-be blending overlapping authority in the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. Both have been successful organizations in bringing companies to Story County as well as to supporting companies that are already located here with workforce development and other needs. There's been recent correspondence coming to our attention that there might be some effort to try to create a dark line in the sand where one jurisdiction would be on the north of that, the other jurisdiction would be on the south. Story County so far has not supported that. We support keeping it the way it is. And the letter that you have in front of you is to the Governor's Office of Economic Development, supporting that we are a regional organization, that we do economic development regionally, and that it has worked so far, and we want to continue that pattern. We believe that the Governor's Office of Economic Development also supports that today, as they had created the original agreement to begin with that is currently in place. The letter ends requesting really two things. One is to do nothing, leave the agreement as it is. If GOED decides that it needs to amend the agreement, we ask in this letter that they clarify that Story County is a blended jurisdiction where both of these entities have their own skills, their own setbacks, or their own skill sets, their own staff, their own benefits, that they can work together in this group for the benefit of all of us. That's it.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments about this?
I'm in support.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I am as well. I don't really see a benefit to dividing up when development very clearly may regionally impact one side or the other, and leaving those options open not only are beneficial for us, but for the surrounding region and for companies that are looking to locate here.
So. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. If you could entertain a motion.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the enclosed letter to the Governor's Office of Economic Development, or GOED, supporting shared joint partnerships with regional economic development authorities, RDAs, including the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, or EDON, and the Northern Nevada Development Authority, NNDA, in Story County, providing for business attraction, support, and retention.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. That's it. Moving on to item number 17, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the bid for the 1705 Peru re-roof project and to authorize the county manager to execute a contract for work with the winning contractor in accordance with staff's recommendations. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Story County accepted sealed bids for the Project 1705 Peru roof replacement at the TRI Government Center building there up until April 12 at 2 p.m., and we had four responsive bidders. The apparent low bidder is D&D Roofing. All the required documentation was provided in their submittal. D&D also provided or submitted a certificate of eligibility for bidder's preference as issued by the State Contractors Licensing Board. Bid is below the funded amount in the CIP plan for fiscal 23, and staff is recommending the contract be awarded to D&D Roofing for the re-roof project. In your information packet there, you should have a staff report that has the bid tabulations, the companies that bidded the project, and what their amounts were. D&D came in at $333,000. In accordance with some consultations with the comptroller, staff is recommending the county manager be authorized to execute a contract with D&D Roofing for an amount not to exceed $345,000, to address administrative costs and potential unknown or unforeseen conditions once we get into that, open that roof up. And there is recommended language at the bottom of the staff report there.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Gilman, any questions about the re-roofing project?
No questions. Time.
Vice Chair?
Yep. I'm good.
Any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Yep. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize the county manager to execute a contract with D&D Roofing for the re-roof project at 1705 Peru Drive, McCarran, Nevada, 89437, for an amount not to exceed $345,000.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks, Mike. Moving on to item number 18, consideration, this is for discussion and possible action, consideration and possible approval to authorize the county manager to execute an agreement with Reno Tahoe Geo Associates, Incorporated, for engineering construction services for the Lockwood Tower Road and retaining wall repair project for an amount not to exceed $7,400. On a time and materials basis, the $7,400 amount is an estimate provided by Reno Tahoe Geo Associates. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations Projects Coordinator again. This board had previously approved the bid and award of contract for this particular project to the contractor, MKD Construction. This project was originally designed by engineers with Reno Tahoe Geo Associates on behalf of the Lockwood Community Corporation. Therefore, there was no agreement for services between Reno Tahoe Geo and the county for engineering construction services. So this proposed agreement provides for those services during the construction work on an as-needed time and materials basis in an amount not to exceed $7,400, which was an estimate provided by Reno Tahoe Geo.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike about this?
I do not. Thank you.
Sure. Any public comment regarding this project? You have something to say, or just?
Yes, I did. I wanted to say that if we're putting it as a $7,400 not to exceed, the actual contract with the engineers is saying, look, we're not certain how much this is going to be, but we're going to bill it on a time and materials basis. We're estimating it's going to be $7,400. And I don't know if you want to leave a little wiggle room in there for beyond the to say other than not to exceed, but say an approximate amount of $7,400. You have given the county manager the authority to approve small change orders to contracts, and I'm thinking I'd like to leave the not to exceed language out of the motion.
Okay, you good with that?
Yeah. So just from a logistical perspective, so from a wording perspective, does that then become, you know, to execute the agreement anticipated to be
an estimated amount of $7,400?
Estimated amount of $7,400. Okay.
And if it gets to be $20,000, it'll be back before the board.
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. If you're comfortable.
And I'll just say that, you know, I think the potential to get hung up and delay the project if we have not to exceed language in there probably outweighs the extra expense that may come from minor change orders.
Sounds good to me. So if you're ready, entertain a motion.
So that motion was... Give an unrestricted credit card to the county manager. That's what it was, right? So this is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to authorize the county manager to execute an agreement with Reno Tahoe Geo Associates, Inc. for engineering construction services for the Lockwood Tower Road and retaining wall repair project, estimated to be $7,400 based on a time and materials basis.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Moving right along to item number 19, this is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 20, which is discussion only, no action. Third quarter 2021-22, 474 Fire District fiscal year budget versus actual review. Comptroller McCain.
Good afternoon. Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller. Again, as I spoke earlier, this is the third quarter review for the fire district's budget. Things are looking really good for the fire district with 75% of the year behind us. The fire district general fund has collected approximately 102% of the budgeted revenues. This does not include the transfer from mutual aid. Their ad valorem and intergovernmental funding roughly has collected approximately $118,000 and $126,000, respectively. This time last year, the Fire General Fund had collected approximately 90% of their revenues. With the expenses, the Fire District General Fund has approximately 28% of their budgeted expenses available. This includes one-time annual transfers and those insurance billings that are a one-time fee done at the beginning of the year. As the year continues, these amounts are distributed across the year. In each object classification, the usage is at or below the anticipated 25% remaining. We, for budget wages and benefits, we are at approximately 26%, which is just exactly where we would like to see this. Service and supplies has approximately 40% remaining. This is due in part to very conservative spending by the fire district and Chief Lonkar. He also has items that are usually purchased towards the end of the year to supplement their ambulance supplies, respectively. Mutual aid is a fund that tracks for out-of-district fires and the revenues that recoup these costs. Currently, at the end of the third quarter, without the interfund transfers, we are approximately at 78% of this budget for expenses, and revenues collected are at 90%. The grant fund, which is the new fund that we created last year to help track various grants, but specifically the NV Energy grant. We're happy to report that at this time, revenues over expenses is approximately $140,000. That's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Jennifer. Mr. Gilman, anything?
All good news.
Indeed. Vice Chair?
Okay, thanks.
All right. Is there any comment by the public regarding this budget? Nope. All right. Well, thank you for that. Much appreciated the update.
Thank you so much.
Moving on to item number 21, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of a memorandum of understanding between the Story County Fire Protection District and the Story County Firefighters Association Local 4227 as it pertains to Article 25, benefits, insurance with the 2019 through 2023 collective bargaining agreement. Chief Lonkar.
Commissioners, Jeremy Lonkar. So I can go through the details of this if that's what the board would like, but essentially it is just the memorandum of understanding to institute the changes that have been applied to the fire district in regards to health insurance that we have negotiated with the Local 4227. Again, this is specifically just to the health care benefits and our move to Northwest Firefighters Trust. So we need to put this MOU into place to move forward with those changes.
Anything else?
And there's nothing else I'd like to add on, but again, I can go through each of the details if the board would like.
Either one of you gentlemen wanted to go through the details?
I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I feel comfortable. We've been part of those discussions.
Right. All right. No questions from either one of you? Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman?
Yeah.
Retain a motion.
I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding with the Story County Firefighters Association Local 4227 outlining changes in regards to Article 25 benefits insurance in the 2019 through 2023 collective bargaining agreement.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 22, this discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of personnel policies P100, employer personnel policies acknowledgement, P701, health insurance coverage, P702, life insurance coverage, P704, retiree health benefits for Story County Fire Protection District. Chief?
Again, Jeremy Longcar for the record. So this one I'm going to go in just a touch more detail on. One thing that you may notice is I did include just the table of contents that shows essentially where we're moving. As discussed earlier, we are revising the human resource policies as they pertain to the fire district. So there's going to be a bulk of these. These are just the immediate ones we need to put into place to move forward with our change in our health care. So it is very limited to P100, which is the employer personnel policies acknowledgement. That's how we're getting the ball rolling, identifying the employees, getting that acknowledgement signed and letting them know more are coming. The other one's P701, it's our healthcare coverage, our P702, our life insurance coverage, and P704, retiree health benefits for the district. So these are just ones pertaining to the last agenda item that we need to get into place. And I'm willing to answer any questions in regards to these policies that the board may have.
Thank you, Jeremy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything?
I have no questions, no.
Vice Chairman?
No, I understand we've got a whole bunch of these to do, but I appreciate you breaking them up so that we can take them in bite-sized chunks.
So no questions?
No.
Any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I fire Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve the presented personnel policies, P100, employee personnel policies acknowledgement, P701, health insurance coverage, P702, life insurance coverage, and P704, retiree health benefits for the Story County Fire Protection District.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks,
Chief. Thank you, Commissioners.
All right. Item number 23 is to adjourn and then to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, bringing us to item number 24, which is the third quarter 2021-22 Story County Water and Sewer Fund fiscal year budget versus actual review.
Good afternoon. Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record. This is the third quarter budget to actual review for the water and sewer departments. Overall, our revenues in both the water and sewer departments are trending above the expected remaining of 25%. Charges in water service is approximately at 87%, collected. The overall figures are higher because of unbudgeted bond revenue, which is not taken account into that 87%. The sewer charges for service has been collected at approximately 77%, so pretty right on target with what we've budgeted. The expenses in the water department are trending to be over budget, while the sewer department is trending to be under budget. I'm finding that one of the benefits of these quarterly reviews are we're able to find mistakes, such as what we have found here. We had budgeted for one employee within the water and sewer departments to be a 70-30 split. The actual payroll distribution came through at a 70-30 split. So the opposite is what's happening, what we're budgeting. So fortunately, due to these quarterly reviews, we're able to find that error, and it will be corrected by the time the year has ended. So we won't be over and under budget. Other than that, their expenses are trending right on track of where we expect to see them. That's all I have for the Water and Sewer Department.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
No, hooray for quarterly.
Right?
Yeah.
Vice Chairman, anything?
Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the Water and Sewer Fund? Not seeing any. Commissioner, no action taken. So we're good. Moving on to item number 25, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the interlocal agreement between Story County and the Nevada Water Wastewater Agency Response Network, providing mutual assistance between water and wastewater agencies under emergencies such as, but not limited to, fire, flood, storm, earthquake, civil disturbance, main breaks, and facility breakdowns as allowed by NRS 277, and other related matters for a zero cost of membership with a maximum mutual aid contribution not exceeding $250,000 without approval by the board of both requesting and assisting agencies. Austin?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, County Manager. Also want to acknowledge Jason Wisberke, our Public Works Director, is here as well. He brought to my attention after he attended a Nevada Rural Water Association meeting. Probably said that wrong. But anyway, he attended this association meeting and found that there is a mutual aid agreement that exists across the state run by the Nevada Warren Group that allows water districts and sewer districts to be able to mutually respond to each other's emergencies with the resources they have that maybe another jurisdiction does not. Of course, this became an item of interest after what happened at the north end of the county last week. It was a good piece of discussion, and Mr. Loomis from the DA's office reviewed the contract. He provided some comments, but it is a kind of a standard boilerplate contract they have, and it appears to be potentially beneficial to both Story County, as well as potentially the Tri-GID, the Canyon GID, or other water and sewer districts in the local surrounding region when they run into emergencies. This almost looks like something that Chief Loncar deals with in mutual aid agreements, and I also appreciated your review of the contract as he deals with mutual aid agreements all the time. He provided some interesting comments. So at this point, other members of this group include Truckee Meadows Water Authority, the Tri-GID, Sun Valley General Improvement District, Incline Valley, Gardnerville GID, as well as various others throughout the state, including Southern Nevada. It does not appear under this case where it's very clear that if there were responses needed in other parts of the state, we would not be required or obligated to respond or respond to any others. But that we would like to as much as possible, and this would provide a conduit for that to occur. So I don't know if Jason has anything he wants to say, or Keith, or Jeremy, or anybody else involved in this, but we ask that this board consider joining this group, and there will be some structural things we'll have to do, such as the next meeting, appointing an actual member to be on the Nevada Warren Group, to be a voting member and participate, as well as being involved in this mutual aid. I should add, probably important, there's no cost to the county, and then if we were to respond, there would be a $250,000 cap of mutual aid. Anything that we put out as far as equipment, staffing, whatever it might be, we recover that through this agreement. Okay. Go for it, Jason.
Good afternoon. Jason Wersbicki for the record. This NV Warren Association is it started several years ago and kind of went stale when the economy crashed. Now since COVID happened, water and wastewater operators are really hard to come by nowadays and to retain. This organization here will allow us to, you know, if we ran into an issue, pull from their operator pool, as well as us going and helping, you know, for other situations like the flood of 17. If something happened at our sewer treatment plant down in Six Mile, luckily it didn't, we could pull resources from somewhere else to assist us with getting that plant back online, and so on and so forth. Main breaks, you know, throughout the town. If we have a catastrophic failure, we could pull resources from, you know, even Southern Nevada if we needed to, for like potable water trucks or, you know, so on and so forth. So that's just my input towards this organization. I'm happy to answer any other questions that you might have.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
I'm in support.
All right. Vice Chairman?
Yes, all mine.
Any comments by the public? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve interlocal agreement between Story County and the Nevada Water Wastewater Agency Response Network, or NVWARN, providing mutual assistance between water and wastewater agencies under emergencies such as, but not limited to, fire, flood, storm, earthquake, civil disturbance, main breaks, and facility breakdowns, as allowed by NRS 277, and other related matters for a zero-cost membership with a maximum mutual aid contribution not exceeding $250,000 without approval by the board of both requesting and assisting agencies.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks, Austin. Appreciate you chiming in there too, Jason. Item number 26, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of an interlocal agreement between Virginia Divide Sewer Improvement District and the Nevada Water Wastewater Agency Response Network, providing mutual assistance between water and wastewater agencies under emergencies such as, but not limited to, fire, flood, storm, earthquakes, civil disturbance, main breaks, and facility breakdowns as allowed by NRS 277, and other related matters at a zero cost of membership with a maximum mutual aid contribution not exceeding $250,000 without approval by the board of both requesting and assisting agencies. Austin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I don't really believe that I need to go through the whole story on the last one that applied to water. I think the agenda language is quite descriptive. This is essentially the same mutual aid agreement that would apply to the Sewer General Improvement District, and I want to thank Keith Loomis for getting us straightened out, making sure we got water and sewer separated. You do not want those to blend.
All right. Thanks, Austin. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions?
I'm in support.
Vice Chair?
I guess my only question would be, the first one was between Story County. Is that representing the water component? Because we are, help me understand the different agencies involved and why the second one is as the improvement district, the sewer improvement district, and the first one's as the county.
The first one is with the county because there's no separate legal entity that handles the water part of it. The Divide GID does exist and it does handle the sewer part. What is provided in the county code is that to the extent that it does not cause too much in the way of administrative costs, the water can be handled by the GID, but it is not, the water is not a separate legal entity. It's the county.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. So no other questions? Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chair, would you entertain a motion?
Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve the interlocal agreement between the Virginia Divide Sewer Improvement District and the Nevada Water Wastewater Agency Response Network, NVWARN, providing mutual assistance between water and wastewater agencies under emergencies such as but not limited to fire, flood, storm, earthquake, civil disturbance, main breaks, and facility breakdowns as allowed by NRS 277 and other related matters for a zero-cost membership with a maximum mutual aid contribution not exceeding $250,000 without approval by the board of both requesting and assisting agencies.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. All right, moving right along to item number 27, to adjourn to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 28, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for the Public Works Director to sign the bid from Central Sierra Construction with an amount not to exceed $8,000 to repair three historic windows in the courthouse. Work will commence after July 1st, 2022. Jason?
Good afternoon. Jason Wurzbicki for the record. This is, Jeff had done a lot of footwork and got a quote to be able to fully repair three of the courthouse windows. The bid for each operable window is $1,930. And an additional $625 for inoperable windows. We have a big issue with these. The windows are so large, so heavy, and the original counterweights and rope systems inside of them failed, which require a lot of critical, decorative work to remove all the casing around it to be able to access everything. So
8 grand's a little bit on a, you know, a few dollars more than what the original three windows are, but figured try to be safe than sorry.
Yep.
Anything else?
That'll be it.
Commissioner Yeoman, you have any questions for Jason?
No questions.
Vice Chair? Any public comment regarding these windows? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Public Works Director to sign the bid from Central Sierra Construction with an amount not to exceed $8,000 to repair three historic windows in the courthouse. Work will commence after July 1st, 2022.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 29. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the bid acceptance from Sierra Nevada Construction in the amount of $394,007 for the Story County 2022 road rehab project and to use up an additional amount of $127,295 while keeping below budget of $596,402. Jason?
On Friday the 8th, we held a bid opening at Far West Construction. We received two bids, one of them being from Intermountain Slurry Seal that come in at $471,638. Another bid was from SNC in the amount of $394,007. We have a total amount budget of $596,402. Far West is contracted with a not-to-exceed amount of $75,100 for inspections, testing, you know, all the critical things towards a big road project, surveying, you know, and then that would leave us with approximately $127,295 in the original amount. So with that, we'd like to use up as much of that $596,000 as possible with a good price on oil right now.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
Maybe not.
Vice Chair?
No.
Is there any public comment regarding this road project? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, do you entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to accept the bid from Sierra Nevada Construction, SNC, in the amount of $394,007 for the Story County 2022 road rehab project with up to an additional $127,295 used toward more road projects from the road CIP list.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passed unanimously. Good luck, Jason.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to item number 30. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for a work order service agreement through iWork with an initial startup cost of $9,500. It will not be billed until July 1st, 2022. Each additional year would be a recurring fee of $2,000 for the service department software and $7,000 for roads, billing and grounds, water, and sewer software. This work order system would be able to be utilized by the whole county to submit needed repairs while helping us keep track of jobs and assets over time electronically. Jason.
The county has reached out to several different work order systems. There was a couple I wasn't available for in the beginning. Jennifer had attended, I believe, two before this one. And when iWorks reached out to us, all of us went through the, you know, their little sales spiel and stuff like that. Well, it seems like iWorks is the, you know, the better candidate for our application. For water, service, sewer, service especially, because it'll help us keep track of all of our assets. And they're offering us a really good deal right now. If we go ahead and sign right now, like it stated, initial startup of $9,500. And then the recurring fee is $2,000 a year for service, and then $7,000 that'll split between roads, buildings, and grounds, water, and sewer. And this will be able to be utilized throughout the whole county as well for submitting work order stuff.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about this software purchase?
No questions. Looks like it'll help a lot.
Yeah. Vice Chair?
My only question is the recommended motion lists an amount of $5,000 to be split between roads, building grounds, water, so on and so forth. Does that need to be seven? I see in the title it says seven. I'm just wondering if that's...
I think the agenda is correct, the agenda language. I think the motion might be an issue.
Yeah.
If you want to be safe, you could just make it. I know it's 5,000 and 2,000, but if you just want to call it 7, if this board is fine with that, and Keith is okay with how that would be, to make the motion match the agenda, you would take it the safer, and just in case.
Yeah,
I believe it's 5 and 2.
The setup cost is $2,500, and then it's $7,000 for the, or $2,000 for fleet management, and then $5,000 for the public works infrastructure package, for a total of $9,500.
Okay. We would suggest using the agenda language, even though it's a little bit more, it won't be spent, and it'll be a safer language to use.
Okay.
Total cost the first year is
$3,500, and that will actually be paid out of the capital projects, is where we have it budgeted. So you can not talk about the service portion of the contract for the first year. If you're having a...
I'm not worried about the first year. It's recurring, the recurring yearly charge,
which in the contract is listed as 5 and 2, totaling to 7. Even though the language on the item says 2 and 7. So... And I'm happy to do either.
I would suggest reading. I would use the agenda language to make the motion and not use the motion language except for the I commissioner.
Okay.
That would be the safe bet, Jennifer. It covers everything and a little bit more. It can't hurt anything. And it matches the agenda.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the work order service agreement through iWork with an initial startup cost of $9,500, not to be billed until July 1st, 2022, with a recurring, each additional year will be a recurring fee of $2,000 for the service department software, $7,000 for roads, building and grounds, water and sewer software. This work order system will be able to be utilized by the whole county to submit needed repairs while helping us keep track of jobs and assets over time electronically.
Second motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks, Jason. Moving right along to item number 32, this discussion of possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the purchase of the Agilis Duo mail ballot scanning and sorting system in the amount of $75,500. All funds were approved by the LCB and will be reimbursed by the state of Nevada. Lori?
The Agilis Duo is a tabletop mail ballot scanning and sorting system, which will effectively diminish the number of steps and procedures necessary to manage incoming ballot envelopes. With election cycles being heavily dependent on timely deadlines and finding qualified personnel, jurisdictions should not have to divide their attention with time-consuming manual tasks. The duo increases overall efficiency. The automated machine reduces working hours, staff hires, training, and overall the budget. It date stamps. Without the Duo, election staff have to do everything manually. After receiving the mail-in ballot envelopes, the staff will need to date stamp it and then attribute the envelopes to the registered voter in our voter registration system, the VOTEC. The staff completes this process by physically passing the envelope to one another. So if one signature doesn't match, we don't feel that signature matches what's in VOTEC, then it goes and we go throughout the office to see if it matches. The Agilis Duo has automated this practice. Once the envelope is received, the Duo will automatically stamp it while also scanning the barcode on the outside. This action identifies the voter and marks the ballot as received in VOTEC. The signature verification, voter signature verification relies on the judges to visually compare the ink signature on the envelope to the electronic one presented on the VOTEC. The duo will scan the signature and place it side by side with the electronic signature. These will both be displayed on the monitor for the judges to either accept or reject. The Gillis duo reduces the bottlenecks seen so often during election by eliminating the need for manual verification. The duo will have a positive impact on, for the voting night. These funds will be reimbursed by the state of Nevada. The funds were provided by the IFC. So it's no cost to the county. But I was told we needed to get it approved.
All right. Thank you, Dory. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything?
I don't think so. Okay. I'm not totally trustworthy here, but what am I going to say? You know, it worries me that we're going to get the money back. It doesn't cost us anything. Generally, anything I get for free is really suspect. I really don't have anything, Mr. Chairman.
Vice Chairman?
My only question is just to confirm. I know in some of the larger counties, the signature matching or verification is done in an automated fashion. It sounds like that's not the way that we do it here. It's done manually. And this would continue that. It would just make it easier by displaying, scanning and displaying. Mm-hmm. But the verification itself will still be done manually.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that's the safest way, too. It's just going to help the process.
Very good. Thank you. That was my only question.
Makes us feel better.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the purchase of an Agilis Duo mail ballot scanning and sorting system in the amount of $75,500, of which all funds to be reimbursed by the state of Nevada.
Second.
So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 33, this is discussion for possible action. This will be the second reading of business license A through Q. Is there any public comment regarding the second reading of business licenses? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed in our agenda under item 33 as A through Q.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 34. This is the second and final time for public comment. Does anybody have any public comment out there? Not seeing any public comment. Item number 35 is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 2:01. This meeting is adjourned. See you all in a couple weeks.
Second half went faster than the first half.
All right.
Yeah, I got to hustle. My apologies, but
no problem at all.
Catch you all in the turnaround.
Absolutely.
See you, Lance.